the more challenging sugyas in terms of just what exactly is the thrust of the din, what exactly are the facts of the din, and what exactly is the concept of the din. And as I guess you got to see a little bit today, that there is a statement in our Gemara, which is said a little bit more length earlier on Tav Nun, which is presented one way in the Babli, presented one way in the Yerushalmi, presented one way in the Rambam, and one way in the Rambam. It comes across in different ways. And we'll try to get a sense of what exactly is it about, and it has many practical implications. And we'll try to figure out how the parts come together. So our goal today will be to lay out the issues, and hopefully tomorrow with the longer issue slide and Seder slide, we'll get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty. So our Gemara has a brief reference to the idea that there's some type of limitation on staka, because the Gemara tells us about the story here of Marukva, who was on his deathbed, and he asked for his tzedakah cheshbonos, and he got the impression that he was a little light, that he doesn't have enough to take him with on his trip to the next world when he's on his deathbed. So therefore, says the Gemara, it's here on some of Zayin Mubeis at the bottom, kam baz bezei lepal gemamone. So he decided to then disperse half of his money. So ask the Gemara, Heichi Avrachi, how can you do such a thing? Ay, the Ha'amra Biloi, did Biloi not tell us, Bu'usha Hiskinu, that there is a Takana Drabanan. Bu'usha means that in Usha, which was one of the places where the Beis Din HaGadol had been established, that they made an enactment, Ha'mevazvez, Al Yevazvez, Yosim Michomesh, that one is only permitted to, let's say for now, to give tzedakah an upper limit of 1/5. So Hani Mile Mechaim, says the Gemara, that limitation is only when you're alive, Shema Yered Nechasav, because we are concerned that you may run out of money and you may become impoverished. We don't have that concern regarding someone who's on his deathbed, and therefore it's okay. So what emerges from our Gemara is very little, just a reference to this idea that there is some upper limit on what's appropriate for tzedakah, and that limit is only relevant to a person who's going to have to continue to live after that and to worry about whether he himself will end up taking from tzedakah. But if that's not a concern, so then it's not going to apply. So we'll have to discuss practically how much that doesn't apply. That's a discussion. There is an independent issue here that one who gives away all of his money on his deathbed is coming up against another issue. Now, what's that issue? The issue of Tamir?
Maybe not leaving money for his Yorshim.
Correct. Known in English as disinheritance, and known in Hebrew as being Mavir Nachla. Mavir Nachla is, at least theoretically, a problem. To disinherit one's just heirs is an issue that's not so simple. So we have to figure out exactly where the line is. That's a halakha l'maaseh question. Where exactly is the point where we're not worried about this chomesh limitation, because we're not worried about you becoming impoverished if you're not going to be alive anymore, but we are calling it disinheritance. Where exactly is that line in between? So we'll have to talk about that. But essentially, that's what our Gemara tells us, and it's a reference to an earlier Gemara. Right? It's a reference to an earlier Gemara on Daf Nun in Ksubis, where the Gemara tells us at more length what exactly the Gemara there has a lot of the Takanas of Usha, the Takanas that took place in Usha. So here the Gemara says three lines from the top, and then a Aleph, Amar Bilai, Ba'usha Hiskinu, Hamavazvez, Ayavazvez, Dosu Mechoresh. Tanya Mihachi, Hamavazvez, Ayavazvez, Dosu Mechomesh, Shema Yitzdarech Lebrios. So it says clearly what the issue is. And here, Rashi translates Hamavazvez La'aniyim and fills in Mechomesh, Shema Nechasav, and tells us this is maybe worthy of note. It tells us which the Gemara itself says, and for some reason Rashi puts it in a second earlier, just in case you get confused for a second. Shul Yitzdarech Lebrios. Right, why Rashi puts that there is a topic of note. There was a story once where somebody wanted to do this. Money Rabbi Yishvav, Yamar Rabbi Yishvav, Mohanicha Chavera, Money Rabbi Kiva, Yamar Rabbi Nachman, Yisem Mivach Yaakov, My Krav, Chal Asher Tainli, Asher Chal Asher Titainli, Aser Esranu Lav. They quote the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, that Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that you're going to give to me, I will tithe to you, I will give you a tenth. But the language is double, so the implication seems to be that if you double the tenth, you get a fifth. A tenth plus a tenth is a fifth. So, therefore, there is this upper limitation of 20%. Okay. So, what's the implication that we get from the Gemara, the Bible so far? What exactly is the significance of one-fifth? What's the thrust of this thing? Morty?
That's a limit where if you do anything more than that, you're going to eventually come to be poor.
So essentially, basically, it seems like it's talking about, for purposes of tzedakah, right? And that if one goes beyond this limit, so then they're going to risk impoverishment. Now, if you recall, this is particularly interesting in light of what we've been discussing in general about how tzedakah connects to two different tracks. Right, so we've been talking that tzedakah, on the one hand, is something that we do to help the world. It's an expression of v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. And it's also something that we do to express godliness. It's something that we do to be like God, v'halachta b'dracha. So this halacha might be an area where there's a certain tension. Right? On the one hand, one could say that if I want to be godlike, I should give away everything. I don't remember how much we discussed this so far, but theoretically that sounds very godlike. And so God doesn't need any property, God is all giving. And this was a point, I think we quoted it from Rav Shimon Shkop in his introduction to the Shari Osher, where he says that that's what the pasuk means, Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani. That the implication is that God wants us to be holy, but says, Ki Kadosh Ani, Chazal tell us, Kedushasi Lamala Mi Kedushastem, I am holier than you could ever be, and therefore you can't be as holy as me. No offense. So what's the implication of that? So says Rav Shimon Shkop, that Kedusha means to give to others, to be giving, to be dedicated to the needs of other people. So God doesn't have human needs, so he can be totally Kodesh. He can be completely dedicated to others, so to speak. While human beings, they don't have that capacity. Human beings have basic human needs, so they have to worry about that first. So they can be Kodesh, but they can't be as Kodesh as God or in the same way as God. They can't be completely without human needs. So theoretically, to be very godlike, so one might want to give away everything or close to everything. And that might become a big fulfillment of halachta b'drachah. But that could be in tension, perhaps, with the functional goal of tzedakah, with v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha, because one who does this is not going to be increasing the pool of tzedakah in the world, and maybe decreasing it. He's not going to be in a position to give tzedakah anymore if he does this, and he may himself then become a no-till tzedakah, so that's not in the interest of tzedakah. So in terms of the functional benefit to the world, maybe this is an example of where there's a tension here, that on the one hand, you want to be godlike, no limits, give away everything you feel you can. On the other hand, from a functional v'ahavta kamocha perspective, not so fast. Now, let me ask you a question. So we notice that Rashi is adding words here that we may have perceived as somewhat self-evident. So how self-evident are they? Is it so obvious that this Gemara is talking about tzedakah? Our Gemara is talking about tzedakah, but is it so obvious that Daf Nun Amud Aleph is talking about tzedakah exclusively? What do you think? Is there other possibilities? Are you?
I was going to say about Yavazve, it seems to be specifically about tzedakah, but that's not necessarily true.
Maybe, you know, the Yavazve in general is a little bit of a funny word, right? It has a kind of a wasteful connotation. It's interesting that that's the word Chazal chose to use for anything in this context. But I'm not sure how much we can read into it for this purpose, but what else could this Gemara be talking about? Amir?
Rashi doesn't have a name, but maybe you could say just giving your money to Hekdesh or something like that.
Could be talking about Hekdesh, that's a possibility, yeah, Shaul?
General spending on mitzvot,
could be talking about mitzvot, right? And we don't even get into the distinction of mitzvah saseh or lo saseh, which is itself interesting, but it could be talking about mitzvahs. As far as we know from the Gemara itself, you know, we are underestimating Rashi by saying he's so obvious, because maybe he's not so obvious. Right? Maybe this Gemara is talking about general mitzvahs. Now, mitzvahs, if we say it's talking about mitzvahs, so mitzvahs could be inclusive of stuff. It could be that our Gemara, which clearly is talking about Staka, wouldn't have to contradict the reading of this Gemara. There could be a reference to mitzvos in general, because maybe the Gemara means that if you want to spend money on mitzvos, you should have a limit of 1/5, and Staka is a mitzvah together in the population of mitzvos. Or it could mean something different. What kind of svaras could you think of, probably in either direction, there are svaras that are available, to say this Gemara is specifically talking about Staka on the one hand, or to say this Gemara is specifically talking about general mitzvos? Morty?
I'd say they're talking about tzedakah, so you have the reference on Tzedakah, but you also have the fact that another Gemara talks about spending money on mitzvos, and it defines that spending money on mitzvos to be talking about hidden mitzvah, and not necessarily just mitzvos in general.
Okay, you're talking about the Gemara Bava Kamma.
Yes, so you think that if we were talking about mitzvos, so the same thing would be true about both cases.
Okay, so point well taken. Tamir?
Could be that just like our Gemara mentioned that it was the Takana Busha, and over there was referring to Stakas, over here too, also referring to, mentioned the fact that Takana Busha is also a street referring to specifically Stakas.
Could be, although like we were saying, that's not exclusive, because maybe it means all mitzvos, including Stakas. You're saying if you want, you can't leave Stakas out of the equation if you
right.
want it to be consistent with that Gemara. That's possible, but without going for a second to other Makoros, just internally, logically, right, if I were to say, you want to comment on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe the concern that you will have to rely on tzedakah yourself seems to make it a relationship. You're giving to tzedakah, and we don't want you to have to rely on tzedakah yourself, so those would relate to each other.
Okay, so that was what I was about to try to prompt. One of the things I was about to try to prompt. Right? So aside from looking at what other Makoros indicate in terms of what other Gemaras are telling us about what this Gemara possibly means, just internally, if the question is, if I told you there's a 1/5 limitation on something, and it's either tzedakah or mitzvos in general, so what's the svara to say one and the svara to say the other? So Aryeh just brought a good point, a svara why it should be specifically about tzedakah, right? Which basically might mean that it should be about tzedakah specifically because there's an internal contradiction to spending too much money on tzedakah. That if the point of tzedakah is we want people to be assisted, so if you are going to impoverish yourself through the giving of tzedakah, that's internally illogical. So maybe one could make a case that it's specifically a limitation by tzedakah, but doesn't tell us anything about other mitzvos that are not about poverty. Maybe we don't know anything from this idea about how we should relate to lulav or esrog or tefillin or anything like that. It's only that when it comes to tzedakah, there's an internal stira in impoverishing yourself through tzedakah, so therefore, there we'll put a limit. But maybe other mitzvahs, we don't know anything. So if you think about it like that, so Rashi, again, is much more of a chiddush than we gave him credit for before. Because Rashi is saying, Hamavazveh's lanim, that's not so obvious until he tells us that. And the line from the Gemara that we put in earlier, that we said, why does he have to tell us 1 second earlier what the Gemara is about to say, that we're concerned about becoming dependent on other people. So here, Rashi is telling us that that's a part of understanding what this is about. That since we're concerned, you're going to become dependent on others, so that doesn't make sense for tzedakah, and that's how he knows the previous Divrei Maskil. The Gemara is talking about Laniyim, because our concern that you're going to become dependent would particularly make it not logical to give tzedakah in such a way. Okay, so one could argue then that it's only tzedakah that should have such a limitation. But mitzvos, we don't know. Right, so if, just to jump ahead for a second, if you got up to the Ramah on today's Mar Makomos, doesn't sound like many of you did, but you might be familiar with it anyway, because it's a very famous Ramah. This is a general klal. The idea that this principle of Chomesh is applied to mitzvos as well. So that's not explicit in the Gemara, depending on how you read this Gemara. And as we'll see, it's somewhat a subject of debate whether or not all the Rishonim acknowledge the Ramah's position. Ramah's position is very well known as Halacha L'maisa. So this is a klal that we hear about all the time, that there's this limitation of spending on mitzvos only a fifth, and as Shaul pointed out specifically, positive mitzvos as opposed to negative mitzvos, as the Rama says. So all of this he quotes from Rishonim, but each side is a little bit open for debate. Is there such a limitation by mitzvos in general? Is there really a distinction between mitzvos aseh and mitzvos lo aseh? We'll probably get into that more tomorrow, but none of those are necessarily explicit in Shas. So it all goes to what one of the issues at hand is, how do you interpret this passage over here in the Neman Aleph? So on the one hand, we could read it like Rashi is reading it, that maybe it's about Staka specifically, that it's an internal stira within Staka to spend that much money on Staka, because the mitzvah itself will be undermined. But maybe if a lulav costs you everything you have, we don't necessarily have that same logic. We don't necessarily know that your obligation to do mitzvos is limited in this way. Now, again, halacha l'maisa, we may come to a different conclusion. We don't necessarily know that from here. Now, what's the svara to go the other way? And this is a valuable thought exercise before we go further also. What's the svara to say that this limitation, let's assume we didn't read it like Rashi, and let's say this is about mitzvos in general. Let's say, which the words could have been. So what if this is an issue about mitzvos specifically, that one should not spend more than a fifth of his money on the lulav or on tefillin or something like that? And we wanted to say, misvara, that it should not apply to tzedakah. Can you think of a svara for that? Yosef? I mean, what's that pasuk about?
Yeah.
So, but what is that pasuk about, really?
Tzedakah.
Okay. All right. So, you see, that's actually also interesting. Really, if you want to focus very specifically on the pasuk, so that could really open up a third front. Right. So that's about really more donations to God. It sounds like based on mikdash type things, which isn't fully comparable to either. Right? Well, it's not fully comparable to Staka, and it's not fully comparable to a lulav either. What's the difference? Why does it really form its own category? Anyone want to...
It's nothing for you.
Sorry?
Nothing for you or for other people.
Okay, why are you saying it's not for you?
Well, a lulav, you at least get like the benefit of a better lulav. I mean,
but that's a spiritual benefit, right? I mean,
you perform them, it's better.
So why is donations to Beis HaMikdash not a... But maybe go a little further with that, though. There is, you know, something along those lines. But why could there possibly be a third category here? Now, we could say that staka is for the poor people, right? Just to take more, think a little bit further. Staka is laniyim, and mitzvos ben adam l'makom, really, things that are forgot are different. But within that, there's a difference between lulav and, say, hekdish. What's the difference? Lulav is an obligatory mitzvah. It could really come with the question, how much am I obligated to do this? But dedication is the Beis HaMikdash in general, so that's not necessarily spelled out as a chiyuv. And maybe I'll say there's a limit to how far I should go with that. If I'm coming and offering voluntary gifts, which is really more the context of Yaakov Avinu, so then, okay, we have to have some system when it's reasonable to do this and when it's not reasonable to do this. So, to focus on that, that's an interesting point also, but even again, just logically, even without looking at the textual clues, why might I say that there is a limitation of the fifth on mitzvos, but it's not necessarily applicable to tzedakah? So one approach to take, and this is going to come up in a few places, so it's good to get this yesod out here now, is that there is, perhaps reflected here, a difference that poskim talk about throughout. I don't remember if we've talked about this at all this year, but I think I talked about it in some of my Sai Sims classes, because it comes up there as a general klal in Bin Adam L'Chavero, that there is a difference in mitzvos Bin Adam L'Chavero and Bin Adam L'Makom. That when it comes to mitzvos between man and God, so we have a principle called Ones Rachmana Patra. Right, that God excuses you for that which you're unable to do. You're off the hook if it's impossible. And many Achronim assume that that only applies to mitzvos ben adam le makom, and not mitzvos ben adam lechaveru. Why? What's the difference? Marty?
Not
right.
That God understands what your actions want, what you wanted your actions to be, and can credit you for that intent. But other people, when you actually have to do something for them, so they don't necessarily see what you wanted to do, they really only see what happened. And even if they could tell what you wanted to do, so just practically that doesn't help them at the end of the day.
Exactly. Right? So there is a big functional difference that when you're dealing with mitzvos, so God can say, all right, I know you're trying your best, and it's impossible, for whatever reason, your circumstances are in your way, so I credit you as if you did the mitzvah. But by human beings, as Morty points out, whether or not they know what's up, whether or not they know what your intentions, the facts are it's not going to help. If somebody is in desperate need of financial assistance, if somebody is about to starve because he doesn't have any money, and you say, listen, I'd love to give you money, I just can't, it's absolutely impossible, so he'll say, that's great, I'm still going to starve. Your good intentions are not going to help. And Chaim Shmulevitz says a chash of a drush about this. I think we may have mentioned it. That the Gemara says in the end of the first parak of Baba Basra that Penina, who was the other wife of the husband of Chana, when Chana the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, when Chana was praying for a child, which she eventually had Shmuel, and before that happened, so she was childless and miserable, and Penina, her other co-wife, so Penina used to make fun of her for not having kids, which is incredibly cruel. And the Gemara says, Baba Basra, that as cruel as it sounds, Penina l'shem shamayim niskavna. That Penina meant well. She was trying to goad her into davening harder. So Chaim Shmulevitz asks, Gemara is defending her? This kind of behavior, that's okay? So he explains, God forbid, the Gemara is not defending her. The Gemara is telling us that it doesn't make a difference. That if you're dealing with human beings and you end up hurting them, so your good intentions don't help. The fact that you mean well, that's very nice, but the human beings are actual suffering, it's not going to make a difference. So he gives a mashal there, if you put your hand into an oven and you mean well, your hand is still going to be burnt. Your intentions are not going to mitigate that. So within such a chiluk, right, we could say very clearly that there is a distinction to be made that God can say, listen, for mitzvos in general, so I only require of you a certain amount of commitment. And I require for you to buy tefillin, to buy a lulav, if you can afford it. But if you can't afford it, right, you're not mechuyev. So you could say, all right, this one-fifth limitation is where we define whether you can afford it or not. That's what the Gemara seems to associate with the border between Shema Yitzarech Labrios and not, where you are dependent on others and where you aren't. So God could say, all right, listen, you only have to buy a lulav as long as it doesn't require you to become dependent on others. But when it comes to tzedakah, so great, we'll say there's this limit and the people are going to collapse. So if you have needy people in your environment, and you feel like it's too great of a stress, okay, but the point is, it's not going to help, it's not going to accomplish anything. They're still going to collapse. So we could hear a svara to say that way too. Right? So basically, if you want it to come from a logical perspective and say this din should only apply to tzedakah, there's a svara for that. And if you want to say it should not apply to tzedakah and should only apply to other mitzvos, there's a svara for that. There's a svara for either exclusion. To pick one way and not the other, in both directions, there's a svara for both. Okay, any questions about that? Hi.
Does everybody agree on the distinction between Adam Lamakam and Adam Lachabera?
Practically, not necessarily. In terms of when you apply it, so where does it come up? You find it discussed, let's say, in terms of Osek, a mitzvah, Patam, a mitzvah, if you're involved in one mitzvah, so you're not obligated to stop and do another. So some of the Achronim say that that's only true if both mitzvahs are ben adam l'makom, but not if it's ben adam l'chavero. In the context of asei do chalosa, say how one mitzvah trumps another, that maybe it's only true if they're both one category or the other, but not crossing from ben adam l'chavero to ben adam l'makom. Many Achronim have such applications, but there are places where you don't find it, so it's not necessarily clear that everyone agrees. Tamir?
What's the reason for why tzedakah, according to the second
understanding the distinction between a limit over there? Why would that be a limit?
Because you could say, listen, this is all about God crediting you for what you can't do. So he said, all right, you can't do more than a fifth. It's just not reasonable. So, okay, so fine. So then we'll say that you're off the hook. God says, listen, these are the rules. I expect you to come to shear when you don't have some other pressing emergency. If you have an emergency, you're off the hook. But as far as the material, you're not going to know the material. This is a mitzvah issue. Right, so too, we could say that as far as the mitzvah of lulav, if you can't, if it costs you more than a fifth of your money, you're off the hook. You're not obligated to do mitzvahs in a way that will cause you to be dependent on other people for financial assistance. But staka, maybe there's starving people who are collapsing. So if that's the case, maybe we can't have any limitation anytime you actually have a need. So Morty's remembering that we spoke about this a little Chanukah time. We talked about why is it that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin that for Chanukah, and we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow because it clearly is an issue in terms of the sugya, as to why is it that the Rambam says that for Chanukah candles you have to go to great lengths in order to perform the mitzvah and even go begging. So some explain, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he explains based on that distinction, that when it comes to mitzvos bin adam l'makom, God can say, it's all right, I know you want to and you can't afford it, you're off the hook. But a mitzvah of persume nisa, like we'll maybe mention an application for Purim, the Yom credit also, that when it comes to persume nisa, we have to make sure that the mitzvah actually happens. Because it's about communicating with other people and they're not going to get the message if you're not actually doing it. Okay, so far, these are some premises we have to try to figure out a little bit. The implication here is that this is all a din drabanan. Right? And a reference to a pasuk, that doesn't have to bother us per se, because it's likely an asmatka, especially since the pasuk is certainly not explicitly read that way. But there is some debate exactly what this is. Right? If you see the Gilyan Hashas, you see Rabbi Akiva Eger's comment over here, quoting from the Yerushalmi. Right, so that here, what is the Kibbe Eger at over here? Right, was this something that started at Usha? So here he adds that really it's earlier, that this was the case always. According from Yerushalmi, Kach Haisa Halacha B'Adam, you see here in the Gilyan Hashas, the Shakhua, it was forgotten for whatever reason. So the Chazru Yamdu HaShniyim B'Yiskimu Adas HaYerushalmi. That later on, the later generations came and they reinforced what had always been the policy. So does that mean that it's essentially it's a din min haTorah, or it's a very early takana that was reinforced as a later takana? Not essentially clear. What would you think if there is no takana? So what should the rule be? Right, what's the premise? If there was no takana susha, what would the expectation of tzedakah be?
If there's nothing, do we have like other things you've been discussing? Like
sorry?
The sarah and everything?
If we have no sources. Right, exactly. Without looking for any textual support. Tamir?
Yeah, because it should be based on the halakha of the aspect we said before. Maybe there would be no limitation at all. You expect to be able to give as much as you like.
Be able to, or maybe you could say you're mechuyev to. Right? Now, one of the interesting things that we'll see here is what exactly is the emphasis of this sugya, especially once you see the Rishali, which we'll have to talk about more tomorrow. Is our Gemara really focusing on what you can't do, or what you can do, so to speak? What is the impact of this one-fifth idea? Is the point a limitation, or is the point really to show you where the goalpost is? In other words, is the Gemara basically saying that you should strive for a fifth? Or is the Gemara saying that you strive for whatever you want, but there's an upper limit of a fifth? Right, so we're almost out of time, but let's look at the two Rambams which are particularly relevant to this. Right, so what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Tzedakah? Sorry. Thank you very much, sorry. That the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim in Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, right, we're kind of summing up a lot of things that we've seen so far in our Gemara. Ba'ani v'shal de machzaro v'ein yad ha-nosein maseges nosein lo kifi asagas yado. Right, so let's say somebody comes and asks you for tzedakah, And he asks De Machzoro, which has been the whole context of our sukkah, trying to figure out what that number is, but he comes with a request for that number, and you happen not to have that much money. So how much should you give? So you give what you can. You give as much as you can afford. V'kama, so what does that mean? How do we define halachically hasagas yado? Ad chamish nechasav, up to a fifth of your property, mitzvah min ha-mufchar. So that's ideal. That's the goal. Is that what he's saying? V'yachad mi'asara b'nachasav b'enini. And if you choose to give one-tenth, so that's what the average person does. Pachos mikan ayin ra. Less than that, so that's already stingy. And then beyond that, one, no matter what their circumstances are, no matter how impoverished you are, you shouldn't give less than a third of a shekel every year. Whoever gives less than this is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. What's less than this? It's not really clear. Or you mean less than the shlisa shekel, or less than everything he said so far? That is a sliding scale of what people are capable of doing, going all the way down to a minimum of shlisa shekel, no matter who you are. And whatever it is you're capable of, less than that, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. And even if you yourself are receiving staka, so you're still chayiv to give staka, which is a point we mentioned briefly yesterday in terms of just the reference to Parshas Shkalim. Right? So that itself is a little bit surprising, because we could say, well, what's the point? Right? So eliminate the middleman. Why do I need to tell somebody to receive staka and give staka? So that could be, I think we mentioned, a reflection of the Valach de Bedrachov part. That you're right, as far as the fund of tzedakah in the world, doesn't help anything. There's no point in somebody who is sustained by tzedakah giving tzedakah at all. But because of Valach de Bedrachov, so we want to make sure that everyone is involved in tzedakah, because you can't have somebody who is not a part of generosity, so therefore everyone should give something. So now, before we run out of time, so let's just look at how the Rambam brings really our Gemara in a little different way. This is in Hilchos Erech HaMichramim, Parakhas Halachi Gimel, where he has a kind of a very different focus here. It says, Va'olam lo yakdish adam lo yakrim kol mechasim. Right? A person should never give away everything he has and dedicate that to the Beis HaMikdash. V'ya'osa kein over al das ha-kasiv. If you're going to do this, you're in violation of the Torah's intent. Sharehu omer mi kol asher lo, v'lo kol asher lo. Kmo shebi'ar ha-chachamim. Because, chazal ha-medrasha, that you should give mi kol asher lo, from all of which one has, and not kol asher lo. You shouldn't give everything that you have. V'ein zu chasidus al ashtus. And one who would do that is not a chasid, but is being foolish. Sharehu ma'abe kol mamono, v'yistarech lebriyos. Right, so now he's bringing in the phrase which the Gemara has, which she didn't bring in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. That's going to just make you needy, and that's not really wise. There's no reason to have rachmanis in such an attitude. That a foolish, pious person is somebody who destroys the world. Rather, one who is. Again, the language is funny. It's a different word, the Gemara, but still a language that sounds like you're squandering. It's really a funny language for tzedakah. Somebody who is scattering his money out for the purposes of mitzvos should not give more than a fifth. V'yek moshe tzivu neviyim, mechalkel dvar v'mishpa, bein b'divrei Torah, bein b'divrei Olam, afilu b'karbono sh'adam chayiv b'hen ha-rechasa atara ha-mamon, ala-mamon, v'yamra sh'yavi kifi masas yado, kal v'chomer l'dvarim sh'monis chayiv b'hen ha-machmiz nidrol sh'yindar, Right, so what do we see? So here the Rambam comes on strong about a limit. And in Matnas Aniyim, he only brings the fifth as kind of an aspiration. And in Hilchos Erechin, so he has it as a limit, and comes on very strong about how it would really not make sense to go beyond this. Now, it is significant why we're going to go past our limit here, so we'll have to continue this tomorrow. But as Yosef called our attention to before, that it probably is significant that the categories we mentioned before, there is a difference in category between Hilchos Matnas Aniyim and Hilchos Erechin. Right? One is people who are needy in front of you and who are going to collapse without your assistance. And one is your decision to donate to the Beis HaMikdash voluntarily, like Yaakov did. So maybe that's where there's a certain thrust to how you should make those decisions, which is maybe not relevant to the Matnas Anim situation, where people are human beings who are dependent on your sustenance. So, comment with that?
But he quotes the Takana Habusha.
Correct.
That line. So.
Right. But maybe that's the thrust. Maybe that's how he reads this Gemara. Right? Maybe that's how he reads Ksubas Dav Nun. That the whole point is, especially also, remember that our Gemara also in Samach Zayin, right, it's not that people were knocking down his door. Right? He is about to die. And he says, oh, I have too much money in my pocket. Essentially. Right? He says, I don't have enough mitzvos to take me with on the next to the next world. So even that Gemara, which was about poor people, is really more in the Arach and Achraman category. So theoretically, it's conceivable that the Rambam could read both Gemaras as saying that voluntary donations, either to Tzedakah or especially to the Beis HaMikdash, so that we'll say there's a limit of 1/5. But going beyond that, that's not even worth considering. And the Kashav HaShlishi for the Rambam is the Perish HaMishnayis in Peya, which if you've seen that, so that adds another dimension to it. So a lot of things we'll have to try to clarify, just to very quickly, Chaz, because we're already over time. So what did we talk about? So we talked about, we saw the Gemara talks about this 1/5 distinction, and we posed the question, because it's not 100% clear from the Gemara, is it about tzedakah or is it about mitzvos, including tzedakah, or is it about specifically mitzvos? And we could find a svarah for each one and not the other idea. It could be about tzedakah specifically because it's internally illogical to put yourself on the welfare rolls through the mitzvah of tzedakah, but maybe not for other mitzvos. It could be reversed, that maybe it's specifically about mitzvos because God can let you off the hook, but human beings who are starving can't. And we have to try to figure out what is the abstract Din Min HaTorah before the Takana. When did this Takana come in? Was it a new thing? Did it represent an early thing? Should we distinguish between mitzvos between man and God on the one hand, mitzvos to Aniyim on the second hand, and on the third hand, voluntary acts of dedication, which may be a different category? How does all of this come together? Is the 1/5 aspirational, or is the 1/5 an upper limit? And it doesn't really convey anything about the aspiration. All of these questions are very much open questions, and God willing, tomorrow we'll try to go further with this. All right, I want you to have a wonderful day. Try to stay on the channel.